But my phone was ringing off the wall. There were a lot of companies that wanted to raise money. And because I'd had the experience being in the slide industry, working on almost every initial public offering in San Diego in the late 90s, people still wanted to go public. They still wanted someone to guide them through the process of raising capital and putting together a comprehensive presentation. And so I started my company literally within 2 weeks of selling my previous.
Welcome to Startup Talk with Millard and Andrew. Millard Chan and Andrew Moss launched this podcast to give a voice to the countless founders, angel investors, incubators, supporters, and startup events located in San Diego.
Welcome to Startup Talk with Millard and Andrew. I'm Andrew. Mill, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. So we've had some rain lately, including some hail that I saw yesterday, but it looks like it's cleared up.
Yeah, finally. It's about time. You know, this winter weather needs to go away and spring needs to come around soon.
I agree. And what better way to welcome spring than our guest today?
Absolutely. We have quite the guest today. Amy Vavrunik is both a serial entrepreneur and investor. Currently, she is the founder of Jewel Golf Couture, president of Artemis Agency, and a board director and VP of marketing and PR at Tech Coast Angel San Diego. She chaired Quick Pitch 2016 and created the 10-year anniversary program that experienced record-breaking attendance, garnered media coverage, and increased the cash prizes that were awarded to the winning entrepreneurs. Amy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Let's get started. What got you started on your entrepreneurial journey?
I think as a child, I was always drawn to the idea of creating and building things, and I was born an entrepreneur, so to speak. I started my first business in college, although I had plenty of mock businesses leading up to that, and I had some successes and failures. It was a really good experience and really got my start when I took a job with Qualcomm. I worked in their marketing department, and I was there at the right time in the right place when they had their initial public offering roadshow presentation that needed help. So I volunteered my time, worked with the executive team at Qualcomm, and learned all about what an IPO really is and how to put together a presentation with great messaging.
So you were at Qualcomm during the IPO era?
I certainly was.
Sweet.
Yeah, what a great experience, I'm sure that was. Yeah.
From there, I realized back in the day, we had to make slides, literally film, recorded slides, put into little sleeves, put into the carousel. And there wasn't a place in San Diego to have those made, and it took about 48 hours to get that. And in an IPO situation, when you need slides, you need them right away. Seeing that there was a need in the market in San Diego, I thought maybe there was a business opportunity. And that's how I really got started on my entrepreneurial journey. I started a company called Accent Presentations that was for 35 millimeter slide design and development and digital printing.
That sounds great. I mean, you found a niche in the market, and especially just, you know, just from the experience of working at Qualcomm, it's just, you can't really go wrong. It sounds like it was a success, obviously.
It was a great success. Qualcomm was a big client of mine.
Did you work at Qualcomm while you were doing the business, or did you leave?
I did leave. I needed to raise some money, so I coincidentally found some people that were in a similar industry out of state. They're in Minneapolis, and they loaned me the money to buy some of the equipment and turned out to be really great advisors because they were in the same business that I was in. They sat on the board and really helped me grow the business. So we took it from 3 employees to 35 in a couple of years. And in 2000, when Kinko's was entering the market and the business was getting a little bit more competitive, actual traditional printers were getting into the digital print space, slides were going away. I sold it to a competitor, and I started a creative agency and worked on the design component, which is what I was most interested in.
Did you take in outside investors in that?
Just the two that loaned me the money wanted to remain investors. Go figure.
Sure, yeah.
I think I was just a little bit naive. You know, it was quite early in my career, so I didn't know that much about investing and what it really meant to have partners. But as it turned out, I had really great partners in the end.
No, that's great. And so when you sold your company, did that sort of give you that buzz that you wanted to continue in the startup space? And that's how you found TCA, or what? How did that kind of come around?
Right. Good question. I sold my company in 2000. And if you recall, it was really the big.com era, maybe right before the bomb.
I am familiar with that. I was working in Europe at the time. There was a dot-com era. It was crazy.
It was crazy. And I think the buzz around town was, if you're not in the scene, you're not experiencing history. I certainly could have taken off time, and that was my original intention, was to sell the company and take a year off, travel, do some fun things. But my phone was ringing off the wall. There were a lot of companies that wanted to raise money. And because I'd had the experience being in the slide industry, working on almost every initial public offering in San Diego in the late 90s, people still wanted to go public. They still wanted someone to guide them through the process of raising capital and putting together a comprehensive presentation. And so I started my company literally within 2 weeks of selling my previous.
Okay, so this background really helps me to understand you, Amy, because, okay, listeners, I'm not volunteering any services on behalf of Amy, but I've often seen that in between screening and general membership meeting, when Amy's identified startups that had a great potential, whether it's a technology, product, or management team, but need working on their pitch and slides, she would actually work with them on occasion in the week between screening and general membership meeting. It's because this is stuff that you had done before. You had gone through yourself.
Yeah, I've probably seen the most presentations of anybody in San Diego. I feel that way, at least. And, you know, whether I worked on them, helped design, helped illustrate the messaging, or just looked at the slides that were coming out of our facility, I was exposed to quite a bit. And so to answer your question, Andrew, the reason that I joined TCA is I reached a point in my career where I wanted to give back. And I had some big changes in my life, and I wasn't sure how I wanted to spend my time. So I ran into a high school friend of mine that was a member of Tech Coast Angels, and I had been familiar with the organization in my prior business. In fact, I'd been approached several times to be a sponsor of Tech Coast Angels. So I was very familiar with the organization. I had worked on a few of the presentations with some of the portfolio companies, so I knew what they were doing. But it really was just coming to one meeting and seeing, it's a wonderful organization. It looks like a nicer version of Shark Tank. It's a great way to get yourself into the mix and really see the pulse of what's going on in the startup community. So I joined the next day. I've been familiar with TCA probably since the beginning. Mike Crin from San Diego Venture Group was one of the founding members and just happened to be in one of my social circles from a business standpoint. So I think when TCA first started, it was really just a club, a really small group of people kind of getting together to help out. I've seen it go through some significant changes over time, people coming and going in the organization. It's been very transient, and I imagine it's really difficult to maintain a good reputation when the members are all volunteers and coming and going. So I would say from my perspective, I joined at the end of 2014, and I've seen a lot of significant improvements, and most specifically in the last year with a very dedicated board. And I think that's what it takes, is the volunteers really going over and above their responsibilities, becoming actively involved in the community with one another. And then, of course, you know, I volunteered my time for Quick Pitch.
Sure. And myself and Millard were actually talking about this not too long ago, about the changes that we've seen in the past couple of years, whether it be the changes to the application process. And I think that has more to do with the board than anything else. But also just the faces that you see at the TCA general membership meetings now. We have more women, we have more people of color, we have more youth coming in. And I think that's really helping the overall outlook of the Tech Coast Angels. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would say probably back after the dot-com bomb, people got really sour on the idea of investing in startup companies, and it probably created a culture that was a little bit more contentious between the entrepreneur and the investor. And now that things are changing, San Diego's really a growing entrepreneurial town, I think there's a little more positive energy going towards startups, and specifically in the areas of technology and life sciences. San Diego's always been a hotbed for life sciences and continues to be. So did that answer your question?
It did, yeah.
As I look through the pitches from companies, there's more and more female entrepreneurs that I'm seeing. And we've actually had on Startup Talk a number of female serial entrepreneurs as well as investors. Are there any gender-specific challenges that that you had encountered as a founder or as an investor?
Right. I have to say that there's probably positives and negatives to being a woman in a room full of men. Obviously, the good majority of men are going to be very polite and give me an opportunity to speak. But on the flip side, there are going to be men that look at women as not having the experience or even the lifestyle or the appetite for investing. So I don't know that I can say anything specific. Certainly over the years, I've had encounters here and there, and probably none that I really want to talk about, but it does happen. And I think there's a real benefit to being a woman, though, because you do stand out and people do want to hear your opinion.
But as with anybody, people, whether it's men or women, could benefit from coaching. And so is that an aspect of female entrepreneurs now that can draw upon, whether it be female mentors or male mentors, but just mentors in general, start them on their entrepreneurial journey? Because if you take a look at the demographic of the startup world, it's overwhelmingly male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that makes a difference. And I tend to take a little bit of extra time when I see a female entrepreneur that's presenting and maybe has the potential to make it through to our membership screening, and really just encourage them and answer any questions they have, because I have been through that experience myself. But definitely when it comes to membership in Tech Coast Angels, when we see a prospective female entrepreneur, the females of TCA make sure that we spend time with them and encourage them to join, because there is some value in having perspective. It's very important in any group. And in fact, I steer away from all women's groups in this field because I feel like we do need the male and the female perspective. And that's one of the reasons that I love TCA.
Yeah, there's a nice balance, that's for sure, and it's great to see that sort of things happening right now. I'd like to switch lanes a little bit and talk a little bit about the Quick Pitch event that you put together as the chair of the Quick Pitch at 2016. You did a fantastic job.
Yeah, Amy killed it.
Yeah, and as Mill was saying, he attended previous years. So this past year was my first year, and I was amazed with the presentation of everything that was put together. And why don't you tell us about, like, how did you plan this, and who did you work with to kind of get everything to look so great and work out so well?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for those accolades. I much appreciated it. It was a really big job. And quite honestly, I fell into it. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but I joined the board as the VP of marketing and PR. And I wanted to make sure that we had the messaging down and we're really working towards getting some PR for the event. And I attended the first meeting, and I could see very clearly that there was lack in leadership, which is, again, surprising because we are all leaders as investors, but they just didn't have the right mix, in my opinion, for what we needed for a 10-year anniversary. And of course, those that have the opinions are the ones that are asked to do the work. Mm. So that being said, I assembled a team of volunteers, and that was both Tech Coast Angels members, outside friends that I had worked with over the years. And when I went to San Diego Startup Week, speaking on the panel with Mill, after, I had a significant amount of people coming up to me asking how they could get involved with TCA. And specifically young people that are looking for something to do or to find their way or somehow get involved with either investing or the entrepreneurial community. And so assembling that team was really, really important because they put it all together.
And that's really amazing, Amy, for you to have actually sensed the opportunity to leverage the community when you were speaking at San Diego Startup Week in 2016 to bring in their talents to help out in Quick Pitch. I mean, well done on identifying that, because you're right. In previous years, it was just a volunteer within the membership, and it was just a small group of people. But by extending it out to people throughout the community, you're able to leverage a wider pool of resources and do more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say everybody on my team took the responsibility very seriously. We had regular meetings, whether they were in person or by phone, and really mapped out a strategy. I'd been to many events. I've had the great fortune of attending events all over the world. So I had a lot of experience in seeing how things are put together and some ideas on what I thought would be really interesting for the audience. And one thing in particular was making sure we had a quick show. So really staying on time, on target, and having a lot of activities. And I have to say, my family attended, and my nephews, who are 9 and 12, and my parents in their 70s, stayed through the entire show, enjoyed it, stayed afterwards. So I think we put on a program that was good for any age.
Yeah, I think that's the great part about Quick Pitch, is it's such a quick elevator pitch that it's able to grab everyone's attention. And the companies that presented that you were able to find and vet through, the 10 that were there were really, really impressive. And I think it made for just a great show.
And I think part of it has to do with the actual coaching. There was a whole slew of startups that applied and were evaluated, and there was a small group that were brought in. I think there were 10 finalists, and each of the finalists startups were assigned coaches that worked with them for about a month or so, and that was tremendous to be able to help them get polished.
Yeah, that was really valuable, I think, both to the entrepreneur and also to the TCA member. I think they enjoy giving back, and if we can help them, the entrepreneur on the stage, put their best foot forward, deliver the best presentation, not only is it entertainment for the audience, but it gives them an opportunity for potential investment.
Absolutely. So speaking of potential investment, there was a great mixing at Quick Pitch among the media, press, investors, founders, support providers, service providers, etc. And so you've been able to see this on a broad view, Amy. So what type of observations do you have on about angel investors, entrepreneurs, and the interactions among those two, between those two groups and among the greater community?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to look to my experience with Tech Coast Angels, really, and just say that the investors are all individuals who are looking for an investment personally. They have their own experience level. And the biggest misconception I see when an entrepreneur comes to present is they think everybody in the audience knows everything about their industry. And it's really up to the entrepreneur to simplify and explain in great detail what they're doing, why they're doing it, and not assume that they're throwing this acronym out there and we understand what they're talking about, or they're in a new industry. I mean, I remember when Internet of Things became really popular and the acronym IoT was being thrown around, and I'm sitting in a screening meeting and this guy's sitting next to me looking at me saying, like, what the heck is IoT? Well, if you don't get that right from the beginning of the presentation, you have no idea what this person is doing. So I would say that's probably the biggest observation, is just making sure that communication is really simplified and we understand what they're doing.
And that's so interesting, because in this day and age, I've talked about this before a lot, is everything is available on the web. You can Google great presentations. You can watch great YouTube videos of very compelling pitches. But despite all that information being available in the wild, yet time after time, you still see pitches that are just subpar.
I think it's because the entrepreneur doesn't have a good framework. And it's really important to identify what areas the investor is looking for to understand. And, you know, that starts with basically, what business are you in? What need are you filling or pain in the marketplace? What is your market opportunity? Who's the demographic that you're going to sell to? Who's your competition? How are you going to make money? You know, all the way down to the very unit that's scalable. And who's on your team? Because at the end of the day, there's so much involved in creating a successful company that all of those factors have to be considered. I say it's like running a marathon. You can't just show up and run. You've got to do all the work necessary to get to the finish line.
I think you make some really good points there. You touched on the management team, and I think a lot of, you know, all investors have different priorities when it comes to making an investment, but a lot of them look at the management team. They want a strong management team. Another interesting point you made there was about the pitch and making sure basically that a fourth grader can understand what they're saying. Because a lot of times I've been in there, and it's happened to me too, where a company where it's out of my industry, it goes completely over my head because I just don't understand what they're talking about, and you lose the investor within 2 minutes of starting your pitch. So you're wasting your time and the investor's time. So an effective way would definitely be able to look at it from an investor's point of view, as the founder, to see what could be potential pitfalls for a presentation to make sure everyone understands what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's true. If you do apply to Tech Coast Angels, we have guidelines, and we basically spell out what needs to be on each of the 12 to 15 slides that you're presenting to us. So if you take that and follow it, you probably have a greater chance of success.
Yeah, you would hope so, at least.
Yes.
And so you've been involved in the startup ecosystem here in San Diego for a while. What would you say are some strengths and some areas for improvement in San Diego?
You know, San Diego has a lot of resources. And if I go back to my own personal experience in starting a company, it's very intimidating, first of all. So having a good advisory board or people to go to or groups to connect with that can provide that input for you. I joined the Young Entrepreneurs Organization, which is now just the Entrepreneurs Organization. But it's an international group here in San Diego. They have a great chapter, met with the same set of people once a month, where we each had an opportunity to present a challenge, and we were given feedback based on the individual's personal experience, so not advice. It's the Gestalt method. And that really helped me a lot. So having the people that were going through the same challenges that I was in growing my business, offering up solutions and suggestions for how they handled it, really helped me grow as a person.
Yeah, so a lot of it is about building community and getting that feedback among your peers, whether it's with the Entrepreneurs Organization, I guess, or co-working spaces, incubators or accelerators in town, happy hours, social occasions, to really not do it by yourself and alone.
Right. No, I would agree. You definitely need a good support team.
Yeah. For your personal and professional life, what additional help from people, companies, or organizations in San Diego do you seek?
In addition to the group, the Young Entrepreneurs that I joined, I was paired with an advisor who was from the Young Presidents Association, which is sort of the grown-up group of YEO. He was a former Olympian and grew several businesses, had a lot of success. And he volunteered his time, much like I'm doing now in TCA, to help me answer questions, be there for me, just kind of bounce off ideas. And to this day, we are still friends. He's in his 80s and still doing things with the Olympics. And I think having those long-term relationships are really important.
That's excellent. As we wrap up the episode, Amy, how can people reach out to you?
You certainly can reach me at LinkedIn, or you can email me from the Tech Coast Angels website as the marketing and VP at TCA.
What's the correct pronunciation of your last name?
Yeah, did I get that right to start out with? That's a big question.
You did. You sounded great. Yeah, it is of Czech origin, and it's one of those challenging last names, but it's really quite simple. It's Vavrunic. Three syllables.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
You can catch us at via email, startuptalkpodcast@gmail.com. Catch us on Twitter @startuptalkpod, or catch me on Twitter @MillardYChan. Well, that wraps up another episode of Startup Talk with Millard and Andrew.
Let's get started.
Hey folks, please subscribe to Startup Talk with Millard and Andrew on iTunes and rate and review us. It helps other people find this podcast. This episode was produced by Millard Chan and Andrew Moss. Our sound editor is Lee Liang. Additional voices from Mindy Nguyen. Our theme music is Good Times by Puddington Bear from soundofpicture.com. Our podcast Sherpa is Charles Wilchett.